We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh, no. With MyBookie and its cash-out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag. Every day, companies you've probably never heard of are making billions off your personal data. Name, address, phone number, even details about your family. All being pulled from public records and the internet, and then sold without your consent. There's an entire marketplace making money off your privacy, and most people have no idea it exists. Aura fights back. They remove your personal data from broker sites and keep it off. Plus, they alert you fast if your information shows up in a breach or on the dark web. But Aura is more than just a data broker removal tool. It's a full digital security suite. VPN, antivirus, password manager, spam call protection, and dark web monitoring for your social security number, bank logins, and passwords. And if your identity is ever stolen, you're backed by up to $5 million in insurance and 24/7 U.S.-based fraud support. Other services charge the same, but only cover one or maybe two areas. With Aura, you get all of it in one simple app. Right now, you can try Aura for free for 14 days when you visit aura.com/remove. That's enough time for Aura to start removing your personal information from data broker sites. Sign up today at aura.com/remove and get the peace of mind that your privacy, identity, and finances are safeguarded. That's aura.com/remove. Certain terms apply. Check website for more details. This is the ZabeCast, from the mean streets of McLean, Virginia, to the Harvard of the West, UC Santa Barbara. You got 30 minutes for some honest conversation about sports, life, and more? Well, good. Buckle up and let's go. Here we go. Tuesday, January 20th, 2026, the day after the long end of the long road to the college football championship game. Full recap, I'm sorry to follow on Wednesday's pod, not today, because the game will have finished way too late for me to do a coherent and collecting all the little Easter eggs and sound bites and everything else from the game itself. So be patient, people, it is coming. A stunning, by the way, $4,000 to get in, just for the worst seats in the building, $4,000 per seat. I don't know who in their right mind would make such a financially insane decision, but apparently they're out there. Some quick hitters before we get to our special guest, and stay tuned to the very end for a special announcement. Caleb Williams went to Gonzaga, you moron, not DeMatha. My sincere and humble apologies. Joe Rada, may he rest in peace, the longtime AD at Gonzaga. He was so nice to me, so good to me, a listener on 980 in DC for many years. Died suddenly, I believe, of a heart attack, way too young. I played golf with him a couple of times. He's scolding me from high above, and I apologize. Caleb Williams was Gonzaga. He was a Bulldog. And DeMatha is their arch rival in the Catholic League. So I want to straighten that out right there. And I hope that Gonzaga are the Bulldogs still. Hold on. Gonzaga Prep DC nickname. See, I got to look this stuff on the fly just to see. No, they're not. Yeah, they're the Eagles. They're the Eagles, not Gonzaga Bulldogs. That's the college team, you moron. Okay, well, at least I got that fixed. I got it wrong, but I got it fixed before I have to get a flood of emails. But you should definitely look up the 2018 WCAC Championship game, DeMatha versus Gonzaga, and the comeback by Caleb Williams and Gonzaga. It's unreal. And I know that high school football often produces a lot of unreal finishes. This one is amongst the tops. Okay, here's some emails. You can always reach me at zabe@yahoo.com. Dear Zabe, writes Chris Gerard in Cincinnati. I was not aware of this feature until this very moment. If you've got the 4K package for YouTube TV, ESPN's 4K broadcast of the College Football National Championship will have no commercials. When there's a timeout or other stoppage, you are shown a view of the stadium as if you're just there in person, complete with the natural sounds of the stadium. I had no idea, writes Chris Gerard. I guess I'll drop the $20 for it. Hopefully they do this for the Super Bowl and perhaps other games. No, no, no. I hate this. I knew about this a while back. I was going to mention it. Here's why I hate it. I don't like the silence in between the game being in and out. And I don't mind commercials because I'm usually doing something during the commercials. And if you don't want to watch commercials, what are you going to be like Putty and Seinfeld and stare at the back of the plane seat in front of you and just stare at the stadium with no commentary? Like, well, there's no commercials at least. I don't like it because if you're like me and maybe you pop to your computer or you step away to get a sandwich or whatever, you use the commercials as a cue so that when you hear they're back to the game, you go running back. I wish they would add commercials to the 4K feed. That said, the actual picture displayed on a proper panel like my Samsung Frame 55-inch, oh my God, it is so good. Greg Lazor writes to say, Zabe, nothing big here. Just want to mention two of my favorite moments over the past week. Number one, listening to your mom. Yeah, I got a lot of emails about mom, and I'll have her on more regularly now. She's incredible, and my favorite part is that she applies the ale theory to the Nats playoff games, only to back it up with you ailing the college tour midway through. Awesome. Yeah, I didn't think about that. I ailed my tour of UCSB. I'm like, we're done here. Sign me up. Also, the power lunch where Buck was talking about what he didn't like about Kevin Burkhardt and how he smirks to the camera during the intro, you pause a beat and ask, with total disdain in your voice, who hurt you, Buck? In the words of Tim Meadows on The Office, I nearly had an awesome blossom coming out of my nose. I love it. Keep up the great work. Hope you find a gig soon. Well, this is my gig, but thank you, Greg Lazor. And then there is this email. Steve, from Michael Gruis. Steve, when listening to the pod this morning, you mentioned your mother to your mom that you're going to be on 106.7 JFK in D.C., for a fill-in shift 6 to 10 a.m. on Martin Luther King Monday. Maybe you did this last week and I missed it, however, as well, but it'd be nice if you mentioned ahead of time your fill-in schedule for the upcoming week for people like me who will hold off on the podcast and listen to you live. It's bonus airtime and bonus content for sports talk consumers like me who have so little quality options to pick from. Best regards, Michael Gruis. I am humbled by you saying that because I believe that my fill-in work on the weekends, on Saturday and Sunday on JFK, it's a bit of a tough lift because it's just me doing the 3 hours. I would rather have somebody with me batting a topic back and forth. And I got to book my own guests and the board op, Metal Chris, great guy, but he's only a very casual sports fan, so it's not like I can pull him on the air and be part of the show. The product, I'm not saying it's subpar or substandard to what I do. I just don't know if it's that compelling. And because it's in and out and in and out, it's a Saturday here, it's a Sunday there, it's a both one day, it's filling in, working with the midday show on JFK, whether it's JP Finley or B. Mitch or whomever, it's just sort of piecemeal. But you know what? I will let people know well ahead of time. I will tweet out well ahead of time, hey, I'm going to be on because I'm humbled that you would say, I will take any additional scripts and scraps of your content because I love what you do so much. I'm humbled and I appreciate it and I will definitely do that. We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh no. With MyBookie and its cash out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. use the funds on other bets, or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag. Now it's time to get to my special guest. Oh, yeah. It has been an excruciating 110 days, maybe something like that. It's been a minute since I have connected with my good friend and former morning radio host in any kind of broadcast capacity. Oh, sure, we have talked quite a bit offline. We have texted each other. We have been interfacing that way, but for the first time in over 3 months, ladies and gentlemen, Basketball Gronk is back. The days have gone by, Brian Butch, but here we are, you and I, together again. Doesn't that music?
It's about time.
About time. Doesn't that music sound good to the soul?
Oh.
People asking me all the time, when are you guys going to get back together? You finally got out from under your non-compete, and so you tweeted me, like, hey, man, let's get together, let's do something. And I was like, we're not talking. And that was a joke. Like, some people didn't get the joke, or they just thought, oh, my God, are you guys fighting?
Did we not just become best friends? I mean, come on.
Friends? So, yeah. Good to see you, brother. How are you?
Good to see you. Life is life. Life is good. Life is good. Unemployment thing, you
exactly.
know? Like, life is life. It is what it is.
Exactly. Life is like, you know what? As they say, you're either winning or learning. I'd say the last 100 days we've been learning, right?
Learning.
Learn even more.
Yes. We're learning. Yeah.
So, first time getting fired suddenly in radio?
In radio, yes. In life, no. Which I think is helps. Like, you know, it's one of those things when you the radio thing, yeah, because you've got insurance that goes with it. There's a lot of things,
right?
And it took me about a solid month to figure it out. To say, whoa, this doesn't add up with this, and this doesn't add up with this, and I'm not signing this right away because this needs to be figured out. And you know, especially with everything that was going on with Blake. I wasn't just going to go ahead and sign the paper and say, I'm good to go, give him my severance. I needed to make sure that insurance carried over so far and that everything was going to be covered and what Cobra was going to look like. And
yeah.
I probably was a thorn in a thorn in their side a little bit, to be honest. And I apologize.
No. Time out. No fucking apologies for anything.
Apologized to him, but I said, hey, I got to make sure I'm taken care of here. Like,
no, listen, you know, so I have an agent. My agent handled all this. Butchie did his deal by himself, which is also fine, by the way. And you had a contract that ran out further ahead, let's say, in the calendar cycle. I'll leave it at that than mine. So there was a bit more of owed money hanging out there from the company to you than me. They stepped off of my dirty ass like a boat coming into the docks, you know, where you know that Johnny Depp scene from Pirates of the Caribbean. Oh, wait a minute. I forgot. You're the guy that hasn't seen any fucking movies. I don't know why I'm doing this.
I've actually seen bits and pieces of it. I haven't watched all of it, though.
Yeah, no. Yeah, there's a scene.
I got some time, though.
There's a scene where Johnny Depp in Pirates of the Caribbean, his ship is sinking as it's coming in to the harbor, and he like literally just steps smoothly off the ship onto the dock. Like, oh, well, that was good. That's what they did with me. So unfortunately, I didn't get very much hangover or carryover, and the reason that I wasn't able to put you on the Zabecast until now is that you had a non-compete, which the first rule of non-competes is, it's like Fight Club, don't talk about non-competes, but I'll just leave it at this little snippet of information. Many people seem to be employment lawyers that are my friends. They're like, what do you mean non-competes? They can't do that. They let go of you. I thought the government, Congress struck those down. What does that mean? Non-competes are just legal entanglements that maybe they'll enforce it, maybe not. Do you want to be snared up in one of those? And the answer is no, not if it's a short enough period of time, which this was, 100 or so days, right?
Yeah, and for me, like, I mean, let's be honest, they still gave me a job for a long time. I'm not going to sit there and, you know, we've come to agreement where it's a, you know, like, this is what we're going to do. This is how we're going to do it. It's all good. I respect that. I respect that they gave me a job. Like, didn't love that it was pulled pulled from underneath us. But guess what, guys? That's called life. Like, everything, like, there's a lot of basketball jobs that got pulled from underneath me that I had to try to figure out too. Like, I wasn't going to sit there and be all pissed off at iHeart and that, like, that does no good. Like, they made a business decision. I understand some of the reasoning why they made the decisions they made, and you move on with life.
Yeah.
That was my approach. And they gave me some severance and said, hey, don't do anything prior to this. And I respected that. And we worked some back and forth on some other things that just I needed to make sure I was covered with. And, you know, one of it was just a simple bonus because we got bonuses for our performances and our performance was good. So
I wanted to make sure
that
we
collected that. And like, so there's just things that needed to happen. And they were, I'll be honest, like, it took time because iHeart's a big corporate organization and everything takes time like that. But they were really good with it to me. And after a month, we finally got it taken care of. But one of those deals where I was like, no, we got to make sure. And I think that helps me being cut from so many teams.
Oh, like, yeah. See, that's the thing. That, like,
there's some rights here let's talk through this here a little bit.
This is nothing for you compared to the shit you endured playing international basketball. And you've talked about this over the years. And the stories are just amazing. And first of all, I would like to hear from any Zabecast listeners who have never heard you and I together because they just didn't live in Wisconsin, didn't listen to the Wisconsin show. I bet there's a decent sliver of my overall audience that are like, oh, so this is the guy that was doing the show with you. I'd love to hear your perspective on this because Brian played for 11 international professional basketball teams. Is that the number?
Yeah. Yep.
And has some stories of getting cut by teams in China, the Philippines, Eastern Slovakia, Western Slovakia, just all these places. And they're all different. And these teams, man, they're professional basketball, air quotes. But it's some of them are pretty low level, right?
Well, my two guard in Dubai was 5'5", 260. But you know,
repeat that. 5'5" and 260 point guard.
He can knock down a shot occasionally.
He was on the team because why again?
Well, he was an Emirati. So, I mean, you needed so many local players that you could only have one American on the team. So we needed to fill out the roster and he filled out the roster. I mean, he did say that, one of the lunches we went to, he goes, yeah, I'm thinking about going to the Philippines for a tummy tuck. And, I was like, oh, boy.
A tummy tuck for the point guard who's a professional athlete. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Needless to say, 2 weeks later, our head coach got fired and we had a new coach. And it was,
So that was one incident. That was one experience you had. Was that in Dubai when you were keeping the cash the team paid you in a cereal box in your apartment because you didn't trust the official banking system there?
Oh, absolutely. Okay. That was exactly what happened. Yeah. And you put it in a cereal box because who's going to, like, if you're, because again, the team has a key for the house. So they can come in really whenever. Like they said they never would, but come on. I mean, let's be real. I mean, if they want to come in, they're going to come in. This was also Dubai where, like, we would Skype because Skype was kind of the only way we could talk to my wife and whoever else overseas or back home. And, like, you would hear the click and you would hear the government click in and hear your conversation.
Oh,
so, like, we knew it. Like, so like, I looked at this and I said, all right. So, and I was talking with my wife about it. I'm like, all right, Megan, where's the best place to hide money? And, you know, we're pretty smart. I mean, I feel like I'm an intelligent person. Not.
Did Megan say your bra? And you were like, yeah. I don't have a bra, sweetheart. And we've got more money than that from this team.
Yeah. So we came up with the conclusion that the cereal box was going to be the best place to, you know, to throw the money. So that's what we did. And, you know, we found a way to get some of it home. And then eventually I did set up a bank system. Where was it? I'm trying to figure out what bank account it was. I think
First
it was,
Bank of Butchie.
No, I wish it was. It was in England, and from a bank in England. I forgot what it was, but I'm still getting on
statements
my taxes.
From
I'm
them.
Still getting dinged by the U.S. government saying, "Do you still have the bank account?" I'm like, "No, I don't have a bank account anymore. I got nothing in it. What do you mean? Do I still have a bank account here?"
Great, they're gonna think you're money laundering.
You know what it was? HSBC or something like that? Whatever company sponsors all the golfing.
HSBC, I think, does a lot of that stuff. Yeah, so, by the way, Butchie is also, for those that don't know, a big adopter of AI and other tech and online stuff. You know, he looks like a big, dumb ex-basketball player, but he's very welcoming to, hey, I want to try this, I want to try that, and he has shared some things with me. So you as a big AI guy will be appreciative of the fact that I went to Grok, or Gronk as I call it, because it's part of my Twitter $8 a month subscription. You buy a blue check mark? Yeah, I do, actually, because I'm a professional, and I buy a lot of things for $10, $15 a fucking month. So, yeah. But on Grok, I asked, how many international basketball teams did former Badger Brian Butch play for? And I think it nails it. You ready?
It does.
You ready? China, Jiangsu Dragons. Germany.
By the way, they're in the Jiangsu Dragons are in the news. By the way, do you know why?
No.
That's where the initial
gambling. Oh, the CBA gambling.
That CBA.
Shit.
I'll tell you. I told you it was fishy. I knew when I went there it was fishy. So
you think they were gambling on shit way back in 2008, well before any online gambling was really a thing. Although maybe there was international sites in 2008 to gamble on.
Do I think?
You know.
They brought me up the back way and gave me cash in the back of a hotel where they put me up and said, hey, take this way and go back this way and go up this elevator, but don't let people see you. This was corrupt from the beginning.
They paid you to tank games?
Not to tank games. No. That's how they paid me. So I knew something was fishy.
Okay. So
now,
thankfully,
Zabe, I was never good enough for them to approach me to say tank a game. So that was good. You know, that made me feel pretty. No, I've never been asked that. But overseas, there was enough situations where I looked at it side-eyed and say, did this guy do this? Like some of the really good players? Yeah.
All right. So China, Jiangsu Dragons. Germany, Giants Nordlingen. Greece, Greece, Ilyasakos. Puerto Rico, Atleticos de Saint Germain.
Yep.
Philippines, the Mercado Bolts.
Morocco.
Morocco boats, Bolts. UAE or Dubai, that would be, doesn't say the team.
Sharjah. Sharjah, yep.
Okay, that looks like a guy's name. Was it just the name of a dude, a rich dude?
It was
in Dubai?
One of the. So I believe there's seven Emiratis when you talk about the UAE, which is like seven states. And Sharjah was a state. Now it was right close to Dubai. It was 2 minutes. But okay. I'll give you the.
And then finally in Japan, the Toshiba Brave Thunders.
Yep.
And
there should be one more.
Does not list any other on Grok, so it missed one apparently.
It missed one, yeah. The Fukuoka. What were we?
Fukuoka.
That was Fukuoka. Fukuoka in Japan was my last stop, where we won a championship, and I went out riding high in a Japanese championship.
There it is, the Fukuoka Rising, RIZING.
The Rising Zephyrs is what we were. Yes.
So along the way, as we loop this back to our exit, our sudden and shocking exit from 97.3 The Game, not even our exit, the implosion of the whole channel station, as iHeart decided, let's play music instead, the sports thing. We're tired of doing the sports thing. Butchie has had incidents where in China, the team was flying this way, and they bought him a ticket to fly that way, correct?
Yep.
That was one incident.
Correct. Yeah, after one game, they just decided.
In Greece, they cut you, and they still owed you money. And you made sure to get up into the GM's office in the arena as you kind of talked your way or bullied your way past various security guards. And you sat in the GM's office and said, I am not fucking leaving until you pay me my money. Correct?
Yeah, I bought a ticket to the game and I knew the GM was going to be at the game. So I wore my warm-up gear like I was part of the team still. So the security wasn't going to question it, but I bought a ticket to get in. And then I just filed the team in during halftime into the locker room. And I knew the GM was there. So at that point, that's during halftime, I decided now is a really good time to have this conversation about you paying me the rest of the money you owe me. And everyone, my teammates, the Americans, looked at me and said, that a boy. Like, yeah, that's what you're supposed to do. I was like,
Go get him. So, go get him. So he paid you the money, right?
They did.
Nice. Yep, okay. Absolutely. And then in Japan, did it end weird in Japan? Or other, you said
Japan
you won a championship.
Was great. Yeah. Japan was great. Loved it. Loved it. Won two championships there. Got some really nice bonus money at the end that got, you know, wired back home. I love Japan. Japan was awesome.
Yeah. I want to go there someday to Japan. But my point is all of this life experience for Brian at a much younger age with a wife and a child over in the States. Who missed him very badly, and you missed your daughter, your oldest daughter, your oldest child, very badly. You were there chasing the basketball dream, and you went to the end of the road until you finally said, you know what? I think this is probably it. And good for you.
Oh, yeah. That's, yeah.
And while you would have loved to have just a cushy 8-for-46 contract in the NBA, where you're 7 foot, can shoot threes, come pre-installed with 6 fouls a night. I mean, what a life that would have been, huh? Just didn't happen.
Oh, it would have been different.
You just missed it by this much. You had a couple injuries that fucked you along the way, and that's life. And you never, Butch, you never to ever in my sort of sensing or recollection of it, was ever bitter about the fact that the timing just didn't quite work out.
No, it wasn't meant to be. It wasn't in the cards. I mean, that's just the reality of life. There's things... Because of that, I'm probably a better man. I'm probably a better husband. I'm probably a better father because I got to see the world and realize, hey, like it's not all about me all the time. Like it's time to step back, evaluate, be appreciative of what's in front of you. Mm-hmm. And I'm thankful for that because I'll be honest, I don't know if that's always, if that would have been the case had I had a great NBA career and that I probably would have been a really selfish individual. And I'm glad
you think so. I don't think that's in you. I think the hard work, sweat equity, Wisconsin boy in you would not have allowed that. But then again, I don't know what a bank account with 9 zeros looks like.
Well, that makes two of us. Correct. Yes.
Actually, not 9 zeros, 6 zeros. That's
take
a million
nine
plus.
Too.
9, 6, something like that.
So, I know it's not in radio, that's for sure.
So in a way, I would say that my radio career also is like yours and that while I'm certainly grateful for it and I've had plenty of success and done a lot of things, I have just missed on the timing of what I was hoping would be like the home run career. The first one was, I mean, you always want to try to get dominant in a market with a show and a day part, either mornings or afternoons, because middays, it's just sort of a bridge period. There's not as much money in middays. Drive time is where it's at. Become established and so dominant that you literally don't have to try anymore. And you just keep getting ratings upon ratings upon ratings. And it's impossible for the station to get rid of you. Andy Pollin and I had a great run on Afternoon Drive on Team 980 in Washington, D.C. when there was only one sports radio station. That was us. And we were on Afternoon Drive for 16 years. The problem is we were on an AM signal, Butchie, which as the years flipped over from, 99 to 2000 to 2005, 2008, 2011, well, shit, people are not going to listen to static in AM mono radio forever. And another station was doing sort of a guy format that wasn't really sports. And then Dan Snyder got sick of the truth we were talking about the Redskins and him. And so he bought our station. And once that happened, the other station in town, which is now the sports station, 106.7 The Fan, which I'm now filling in on, they flipped from like guy talk to pure sports talk, and their signal is awesome. And so they were then competing with us, and it was sort of like just two boats passing in the ocean, as the one boat had a much bigger motor than the other one. And I had to ride out what I was doing with Andy and with the station 980, because I had come into the station as a union member, and unionized radio members had all kinds of great benefits, including a pension, which I'm very thankful for now as I approach retirement age. And I couldn't walk away from it. I had a massive severance as well, Butchie. Like, I want to say at least 26 weeks. Wow. 26 weeks. And that was only half of Andy's severance, because Andy had founded the station back in 96. So he had like a year of severance. So if I had gotten the greatest job offer ever from the station across the street, I would have had to A, sit out for probably a 6-month non-compete. I don't know what it was. I can't remember. And then forfeit 26 weeks. Fuck that. So,
yeah.
So I was strapped to the mast of a sinking AM radio ship, and I just kind of missed. We just missed on what would have been 30 years of Zabe and Andy in the afternoons talking sports on the sports station in D.C. Okay, fine. At the same time, I was doing a national show on Fox Sports Radio with Scott Lynn and Steve Solomon on Fox Sports Radio, and we had a really big number of clearances in the early aughts, and we were kind of tailing behind Mike and Mike on ESPN in terms of number of affiliates. They didn't promote us nearly as much as Mike and Mike. And the guy that hired me died of pancreatic cancer way too young. Andrew Ashwood is his name. Andrew Ashwood was his name, and was a great dude who loved radio, and he loved us, and he was totally behind us. Well, he dies of pancreatic cancer. This douchebag who works, I don't want to name his name, but he worked for the parent company out in L.A., had his own big ideas for the morning show. And because Stephen A. Smith had just flamed out the first go-around at ESPN, lost his show, quite frankly. Remember that debacle, Butchie? Mm. Quite frankly.
I do.
He was, yes. Stephen A. Smith was out of jobs, literally at rock bottom. And because our contracts were coming up in December of 09, this douchebag was like, oh, this would be my big splash. And so he hired Stephen A. And of course, he lasted 11 months. Stephen A. did not like waking up as early as it took. He didn't like the grind that radio is. They lost a massive number of affiliates across the network. And then he was out after 11 months. Now I'm still around going, okay, Let's just call it a rookie mistake. Let's fix this up. Let's get me and the boys back in there.
Well, back together, yeah.
But you know what? These radio pinheads, they're never going to fucking admit a mistake. They're never going to go, yeah, that was actually dumb. Lasted 11 months, got rid of a viable show. That was thriving. Guess what? Let's get you back in there. So then they proceeded on down the road of a bunch of other way worse talents and shows that didn't perform well. And that was that. So I just missed out on what could have been a really good enduring thing. And then sadly, this thing with the game was shaping up the same way. We had something great going on, and not just us, but the whole station. And I was very excited for it. I love doing it with you. I love the Wisconsin vibe. I love being up there for as much as I was. Couldn't quite commit fully to moving the family and kids. Now you know fucking why. Right? And I really thought we were on that trajectory, because we were number two in our target demo for the last three books, almost, basically, behind Bob and Brian, the dominant morning show in the market. Everything's fucking going great, right?
Well, it was. Like I said, and then I mean, everywhere I'd gone, and yeah.
Rug pull. And so I, too, feel like as much success as I've had, and I'm thankful for it, just missed three times, Butchie. Just missed on the point of it all. The point of radio being the business that it is to get entrenched. And then if you don't want to try, then you don't have to, because at that point it doesn't matter. I think you and I would have still tried, because, you know, you got to try. you know, you put in the grind. Well, you're Mr. Sweat Equity.
We would have tried because it was fun. It wasn't work. Like, that's the difference. Like, I mean, that's why it worked, because it wasn't work. We weren't, you know, it's funny. I've been in radio long enough. I coached 2 years in the G League with the Wisconsin Herd. After that, I realized I got out of it. I've been in radio now 8 years, and I consider myself somewhat an easy guy to work with. Now, there's some people out there that disagree with that. That's a whole different conversation.
Who's that? Oh, well, yeah, there's one guy now, but I have no problem with you.
But, like, I think it's one of those things that, like, your job in radio is to have fun doing this, because I've always said this. If people are going to give you their time, 3 hours on the pod or whatever, or live, or, like, they want to get away from their life, too. So let's have fun together. That's always been my thought process with this. Like,
and that's what we did.
And that's what it was.
And the great thing is, you never – got mad at me if I was aggressively in disagreement with you and your opinions about this, that, or the other. And you would think, well, wouldn't every radio host be okay with that? You're supposed to debate. Yeah, and I say, you'd be surprised.
Right? To me, like, isn't that normal? Like, it's a conversation. It's okay if we disagree. Like, I'm not going to be mad at you. Like, okay, on to the next conversation.
Right. Some people in the biz get butthurt if you come at them too hard or call them.
That's because they feel like they're very important, Zabe. That's the problem. There's way too many people in this industry, and I mean, I guess I'm not in it now, so whatever. But, like, there's way too many people in this industry that really feel like they're very, very important people.
Yes. Well, right, exactly, and that's just the nature of the business. Of course, I've always derogatorily said that, you know, radio is the second lowest form of technical, like being in the entertainment business, that the only platform lower is to be a guy on the street drumming on empty buckets. That guy is on the lowest rung of quote entertainment.
I might be doing that tomorrow, so we'll see. But yeah, I mean, hey.
For tips.
I got three kids I got to put through school, and I don't know what kind of job I got next, so I might be doing it.
Yeah. So the obvious question people are going to have, and the reason Butchie can come on my podcast here, is that the podcast was written into my contract, so this was a known thing that I get to do. And thank God, by the way, that that was written into my contract, because it's sustaining me now during this intermission period. But, you know, I've lost my train of thought here. But the reason that you're able to come on now is because this was carved out as an exception ahead of time when I signed this deal, and your non-compete is over, so you can go do whatever you want. And I think what everyone is wondering now, that the station has been whittled down to one show, and we'll talk about that in a second, people are wondering, oh my God, are you guys going to get back together on the radio where I can listen to you in Wisconsin? And the answer to that is, it's not clear at all. And I would say, don't hold your breath for it. I don't want to rule it out, but it takes a certain amount of commitment from some entity to go, hey, these guys have proven they can assemble an audience that can be monetized and sold to. And this is a format that we know how to overall leverage, which, by the way, I'll tell them how to leverage sports radio. It's not hard. Sell to male-oriented accounts. Meat, trucks, beer, ED drugs, you name it. Just keep wash, rinse, repeat. So I don't know what's going to happen. You don't know what's going to happen. We're going to sort of plunge into this going forward. You have set up a nice YouTube channel that I want you to promote called Butchie's Den.
Butchie's Den, absolutely. So it's it's a YouTube channel. Subscribe to it. I'm gonna put stuff out there daily. I'm gonna do some longs. I'm gonna jump in there with, you know, some obviously some Packer talks, Badger basketball, because I'm, you know, that's the season. I'll be in Penn State on Thursday with them, and then go out west to Seattle and Washington, and so we'll talk a lot of that. There'll also be some international stories that I haven't been able to kind of tell in full length that I'll get out there.
Oh, nice.
Yeah, whether it's the time that I was in Puerto Rico and they tried to inject my hamstring to play that same day that I got off the plane, I said, no, or the time that I was buying, you know, fake watches in a Chinese market, or the time that I was in Dubai trying to, you know, God knows, do whatever we were doing with me and my wife. We ended up trying to buy some gold, and that didn't work out well because there was a lost in translation there. So,
right.
Yeah, so a lot of those things would be on there, but it's just a time. It's a place. Like I said, this, in all honesty, like, I learned a lot from you. And one of the things I learned from you is you have to control something in this world. So do I hope there's another radio chance for me somewhere in the state of Wisconsin, somewhere? Absolutely, I do. I think people have liked it. It's shown that people liked it. But you never know. Like, there has to be someone that wants to make the investment in what that is as well. That being said, if that time ever comes, I still want something that I'm going to own and be responsible for and control. And that's been the biggest thing. When I first got into radio, one of the things that I always said is I can't do afternoon drive because I've got my basketball camps in the summertime. And I'm going to continue to do those because I can control that. I can get some revenue. I love it. I love teaching. And I love that you saw that and you said, no, I'm never going to get mad. Like, wherever you got to do the show from, you do the show from. I know that when you're locked in for 3 hours, no matter if there's a ball bat, you know, bouncing somewhere else. And, you know, I didn't always have that, which was working with you. I learned so much of that. And I appreciate you understood what that meant to me as well. And,
It's good.
So that's what I learned a lot from you. Like, it's good that let's start something here. Let's build this. Let's see if we can get some audience. Like, subscribe on YouTube on Butchie's Den, but let's see what it becomes.
But the one thing I'll tell you is always be shipping. Always ship product. Keep putting stuff out there. Build that library of content. Refine how it's presented. And you got to do it you got to be committed to doing it for a long time to prove that you can do it on a consistent basis. Because to a large extent, this is how the algorithm on platforms like YouTube determine whether or not to push your content. They look back and go, well, does this guy regularly post and how often? And, you know, I saw a stat from one of the podcast hosting services. They said the average new podcast has a over-under of total episodes of what? What is the average number of podcasts? Episodes that a new podcast ends up putting out?
I'm going to say 15.
And under 4.
Really?
Yes. 4. Because people go, it's great. Do a podcast. I'll talk. I could be like on the radio. Well, you don't have a concept and you don't have the commitment to be shipping product. And that applies to whether you're in media like this or you're in social media or whatever platform or any other kind of business. Ship, baby. Ship your shit. So, and also don't, you got to blind yourself to what other people are doing and don't be dissuaded about, oh man, look how big that guy is or look how many followers she has. Those are other people's footsteps on the beach of life, Butchie. Stop looking at all the other footsteps. Focus on your footsteps and do it for A, yourself, B, the art of what you're trying to create or the message that you're trying to put out there. And then while you're doing that, find ways to monetize it. That would be my only advice right there.
Yeah, no, and I think that's exactly the thought process. I'm not afraid of the work. That's the thing. Like, it does take a lot of work. Like, I've already sat down and tried to figure out, okay, let's schedule out how I want to do my shorts, how I want to do my longs, what days I'm going to do this, how I'm going to get it to it. I think I've got somebody that's helping me kind of, you know, put this together as well, which is really nice. And so
you have to be mechanized. You have to be like a factory where you've got these schedules and you're cranking them out. Because I think I got time today. You might not have time today.
And matter of fact, I'm getting up in the morning at the same time. Now I'm getting on that Peloton, and no, I haven't named the boat yet, but I am getting on the Peloton. I'm getting my workout in, and I come into my office, and I record something, and I send it away. And how's that Peloton of yours coming along? You get a lot of usage out of that?
I meant to tell you this, and I think you'll be pretty happy for me about this, but breaking news, I sold the Peloton Sunday. I bought it for $1,500 cash from a woman near me in 2023. I put a grand total of, I think, 3 rides on it. And then I sold it to a nice guy from Iowa who works for the DEA in Washington, D.C., and his lovely wife and their beautiful little tiny baby that came out in their SUV to get the bike. I sold it to him for $700. So I took an $800 bath on it, plus the dumb shoes I bought for it. And I was like looking at the monthly on it, and it's $50 a month.
They did jack it up. First of all, that's ridiculous. They jacked
$50, Butchie. And I have,
yeah.
I have a treadmill. I got a Stairmaster.
Which you don't use.
I don't use, but I'm going to. And a recumbent bike as well. And I got my friend Tony Horton in a set of DVDs from P90X. I don't know if you ever saw me post P90X in 2010. Did you?
I missed that.
I'll send you a picture. I was for once in my life, I was in pretty good shape. So we'll see if I can do it again on that.
Why can't you do that now?
You know?
Why can't you do it now?
That's a great question. And especially, I should already be there because I've been out of work for 3 months. Because it last time, 3 months, I did P90X. Okay, 90 days. Every day. No days off, as Belichick would say. And I went from 234 to 202 and had good-looking ripples of some leanish muscles. Of course, I don't want to say I doctored the photos, but I looked up how to pose in a way that makes you look better with the photos. Actually, here, let me see if I can, I think I've got this here to show you.
I'm sure you do. I'm sure you do.
What? As like, look, once upon
don't
a time.
Act like you don't. They're in a folder saved that says, look at me.
You think is it a little bit, I don't want to say that, but is it
jaded? Jaded to have a folder of just photos of your six pack or how it's somewhat sculpted? Sure, yeah.
Did you ever, don't you have photos yourself dunking on some fool in Dubai that you're really proud of?
Well, sure, but I still was fat, overweight, and a slow white guy.
Okay.
Like that, no matter what. Photos can't change that.
Yeah. Can't really find it here, but I'll get it in just a second. So let's talk a little sports, for God's sakes.
Yes.
Today, Sean McDermott was fired by the Buffalo Bills. Yeah, your take is ridiculous. Of course he should have gotten fired. The guy has not gotten it done when it matters the most for 6 straight seasons. This is a low-cost chance to get a whole lot better with somebody else. And this is what the Packers absolutely, Butchie, should have done with LaFleur.
I completely disagree.
I know. Another take of yours that I saw, and I'm just like, oh, my God. Butchie is one of these, oh, no, he does a good job. Like,
no.
Yeah.
So the Buffalo one, I can be a little bit more on board because you have a MVP quarterback. That one I can be a little bit more on board. The Packers, and this is something that I've listened to in Wisconsin sports radio here quickly, and I don't get it. Like I don't agree with I don't agree with the take. Like, oh, get rid of Matt LaFleur right away. Like, so let's start here. First of all, the Green Bay Packer wide receivers, they're young. Why was there never a veteran brought in to have any veteran leadership whatsoever? And you can't tell me Josh Jacobs is the guy. You got a young quarterback in Jordan Love who there's issues there. There's zero veteran leadership at all. So everyone wants to come after Brian, or Matt LaFleur, but what about Brian Gutekunst? Why does he get a scapegoat? And this whole Packers organization, there's no accountability from the top down. They're more worried about charging $20 to sled down the hill than actually worried about the football team.
Outrageous. Well, that's what I said after the Bears debacle, and then it looked like they were going to keep LaFleur. I'm like, I bet the conversations at 1265 Lombardi is, hey, I don't know, should we fire this coach? We keep stubbing our toe here, not going anywhere in the postseason. Well, let's see what the revenue is from the Aaron Sledding Hill. Johnsonville Broadhouse, how are the numbers for this year? Stronger than ever, sir. Well, then, hold on. Let's not make any sharp moves right now. You agree that this franchise is not just conservative and timid and, yes, soft at times, which you have labeled them, But
oh, yeah, for
they,
sure. You could see
they are wrapped up in way more things than just ruthlessly pursuing winning. You can admit that, right?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
There's no question. I mean, listen, if they didn't care about that, the Kmart and the church and everything else, that when I went to games, would still be there.
Right.
Like, it's the that's just the facts.
Yeah.
They're about making money. They're a business, and they're worried about making money, and they're worried about protecting their shield.
Protect the brand and protect the enterprise. They've become up there frozen football Disneyland. And it's wonderful. It's a great place to go see a game.
And it's not
The Brat House, look, I've bought their brats and their beers in there. It's not bad. They don't totally gouge you, but they're their brats. And they're, I think, $12 a brat.
Yes.
And they didn't want you sitting out in the parking lot eating your own brats and drinking your own old style. So they're like, we're going to capture that revenue. But at least it was fucking warm in there and there was a band. But all these things are the kind of things that happen when you got an organization that has been winning enough, right? They've been winning enough. They've been going to the playoffs enough, a lot. And they've had this long run where they haven't sucked and sucked hard for 6-7 years in a row. Like 3 wins, 5 wins, 2 wins.
I said it. They've won just enough where they haven't had to truly evaluate everything they do. They've won just enough. So it's like, okay, well, we're close enough. We don't have to truly sit back and evaluate everything that needs to happen. You know, the Matt LaFleur coming back, I actually think it's smart to do that because I don't know, like, be honest, I don't know if Jordan Love's the guy. And if you get rid of Matt LaFleur, that means now all of a sudden there's a system that you're trying to put into place for Jordan Love that you could, like, that might not be the smartest move. So I that's why I don't mind. Now you've got to go get a new defensive coordinator.
Yeah, Halfley got hired today by the Dolphins. They didn't even let him get on the plane to Tennessee. They liked him so much. His bold move to resign as the head coach of a backwater college program, BC, and be a coordinator really paid off. And honestly, his defense wasn't that great this year once the pieces started flying off on injuries. It wasn't good down the stretch. Wasn't as good as it once was. But I like the cut of his jib, and I hope he does well down in Miami. Here's the thing about LaFleur, okay? In the big moments, he fucking chokes. Like, you can see it. He actually panics, and he actually does shit that makes you say, okay, why are you freaking out? You have to be able to win these games in the moment. Like, to me, the notion, and remember how earlier in the year, Matt Schneidman, whose work I respect, and he does cover the team, said, with a new boss, Ed Policy, there is no guarantee that LaFleur gets extended after this year, right?
Yeah, and then at the end of it this year, Matt said, well, there was never really going to be something. So then were you lying to me, Matt? Or
yeah, people were coming at Matt going, so that whole narrative you were pushing hard earlier in the year, either you misread it or you were just doing it for clicks. I don't know if either is true per se. I think maybe Matt totally underestimated the conservative nature of this organization. He may not fully get just how, oh, geez, no. You know, he's a good coach. We like him. He's nice. He's handsome. He's got great hair. Like, that's how they think. They just don't have the balls to be ruthless about the football on Sunday. This is why stupid-ass Bisaccia, who, by the way, is still on staff right now as we sit here on January 19th, that's a fucking outrage. That guy stinks. His units have stunk. He's the assistant coach. He's like the assistant to the head coach.
Associate
head coach. He doesn't do anything to help LaFleur not waste timeouts or not strategize down the stretch to, you know, lose games. He is an unbelievable disaster and still there. So, which bothers me.
I hear all that.
I want you to hear more. I want you to really hear it because I'm not done yet. Did you see the business decision by Keyshawn Run His Mouth Nixon at the goal line?
Well, I did see
on DeAndre Swift. Why is Keyshawn Nixon on the team right now? Fuck him.
Well, why was he a number one quarterback? He should have never been. That goes back to what I've been saying for the last 3 years with this Packer team. All they want to do is run their mouth, and they're fake tough guys.
Why didn't somebody fight Keyshawn Nixon on the team flight home? He flew home from Chicago, right? Yeah, it's a quick shot. You know, watching him literally stop at the goal line, game in the balance, and hop out of the way of a running back where the ball was exposed right here, but he could have pow, popped it out, was outrageous. And it's because the team doesn't vibrate with that intensity. Other NFL teams, there'd be reports, whether it's in New York, Chicago, L.A., Philly. Oh, there was a fight on the team plane. What happened? Well, somebody saw the play in which Keyshawn Nixon did not even try to tackle the runner at the goal line with the game on the line. So it permeates everything. The whole organization permeates as the Nice franchise with the upper Midwest values and the Sledding Hill and the Broad House, and we're winning enough. And gosh, geez, what are they going to say, Butchie, if we fire Matt LaFleur? And the answer fuck them, whatever they are going to say. Get a better coach than Matt LaFleur, who's a coordinator. He's a great coordinator. History will show, Butchie, when it's all said and done, that Matt LaFleur will be a great coordinator in the NFL for a long time. He's not head coach material. He's not. Okay, the floor is now yours.
Yeah, and you brought it up. You kind of, you know, are going to talk to my point a little bit more. Now, I understand why you say it vibrates with the team, but to me, I'm a big player. Players have to make plays. Like Ben Johnson, that throw Caleb, you know, made down the sideline that most quarterbacks can't make,
yeah,
he makes the play. Yeah, that's not a Ben Johnson play call. The play we just saw that, you know, the Bears end up losing, but the touchdown throw to Komet, like, he makes the play there. That's not a play. That's not a call. That's not a vibration of what's going on. That's just a guy making plays. And I think there's not enough players that know how to make plays in Green Bay. And part of it is the Packers have been on this youth movement forever. And I have been big on, you need to go get some veteran guys. Now they go get Micah Parsons. There's a veteran guy. So that can be, you know, if you want to come at my argument, you can come at it. But I know for a fact the young wide receivers aren't acting like pros. I know not, they're not handling their business like pros. For a fact.
What do you mean by that?
Through many people that I've talked to.
So these are Butchie sources up in the valley.
Correct. Yes, yes. Wow. That have done work with them in certain ways. That the way that they act is not a professional way. It's because they don't know how to act like a professional, because there's no one in there to teach them what it's like to be a professional. In that wide receiver group and room, where's the old head that's in there saying, young fellas, you might have all the talent, but you don't know what the hell you're doing. You don't know how to handle yourself as a professional.
Do you think Love could be a little bit more hard on these guys, even though he's a contemporary in age?
Sure, but he's a couple years
older. He's a couple years older, I believe.
A couple, but that's it.
But he's not an old head. He's not an old head quarterback, but he's still the quarterback.
He's still the quarterback, which carries more. But tell me the old head that's on the offensive side, Josh Jacobs. Oh, okay. But, like, I mean, where is that where you – instead, we want to be the youngest team in the NFL. That I swear we're gonna hang banners for that. Okay, I think next time you're at Lambeau, there's gonna be five banners for the last 5 years for the youngest team in the NFL. I think that's what Goody's wants to do, is hang banners for the youngest team.
Hang them.
So I want to make sure during the shareholders meeting,
right,
during the summer when that comes up, I'm gonna raise my hand. Well, hey, you have to raise your hand because you're a stockholder. I'm not buying that piece of paper. Raise your hand and say, Goody, can we please raise banners for the youngest team in the NFL? But that to me is the biggest issue. You have young guys that just don't know what it means to be a vet, to be a pro.
They do have, I think, a big drawer full of number twos at wide receiver, if that.
Correct.
And they need at least one guy who is a motherfucking one. A no doubt about it, one. All right, I'm going to show you these two players right here, okay? We're now in share screen mode, okay? You got this?
No, I got it.
Okay. Here it is right here. Let's scrub it back and forth like it's the film room. You seeing this?
I'm not. I got a dark screen here.
Oh,
there we go. I got you.
Okay, you got me.
I got you.
Okay. All right, here it is. DeAndre Swift. Packers clinging to, I want to say, a three-point lead at this point. Swift is running through a huge hole here. Here is Keyshawn Nixon. Two steps inside the goal line. Swift is at the five.
Make the play.
Motherfucker, get up in there and blow his shit up. Well, what does he do? Take a look. He hops two steps forward. I'm not sure who that's McKinney right there. Xavier McKinney, yeah, who's coming at him from the side, gets a piece of him. Hey, your toe is on the goal line, Keyshawn. Fucking light him up right now. He stops as Swift is right there. The ball is right there to be, bam, pa-pam, punch it out. And what does he do? Ole. That is disgraceful with the game on the line.
Yeah, yeah.
Unbelievable.
Conversation week two. It's still disgraceful week two, but in the playoffs.
And I've got another angle for you, if that wasn't bad enough. You ready? Another angle. I don't know if you've seen this alt angle. Hold on a second. Here we go. This one's bad. This is an end zone look right here. You seeing that?
I saw it, yeah. I saw it when it happened. I saw that, and I saw this one.
Look at this.
Like,
everyone's selling out, and there's 25. Oh, gee. I don't know. Tackling him might hurt. It's kind of cold out. Oh, there's the ball.
And, you know, what was the difference in the Rams game?
Oh,
it was what they did on fourth down, right? It was what the Bears did on fourth down.
And there you go, right? Like, this alone should be a line item. The Packers have released cornerback Keyshawn Nixon. I don't give a shit about what his cap hit is. I don't care about, you know, well, we're trying to do this, whatever. He's cut guys like this for the overall culture of the team to send a message to everybody else. We ain't playing. Because here is what the Rams did last night in beating the Bears in even colder weather. By the way, aren't you glad we were not outside at that game?
I am really glad, yes.
the stupid me would have said, hey, man, let's go get tickets and go to the game. All right?
Yeah, no.
This play is fucking awesome right here. Swift hurdles a dude. He gets hit in the nuts by the first defender, right? And then the second guy comes in like a midair missile and just blows his shit up. That right there. And thank you, by the way, woman talking during this person pointing the phone at their screen for the highlight. That's the difference right there between the Packers, who are home or in Cancun, and the Rams, who are going back to Seattle for a third installment against the Seahawks. That's it right there.
So, and those are the plays that need to be made. Exactly. Yeah,
and it's all about having the culture you need. The game tonight is about to begin. Indiana, yes, versus Miami. The get-in price, $4,000. At the last minute, $4,000, which is the most insane thing ever. Who on earth could be paying for such a thing like that? We need to talk college basketball maybe next week, because there's so much going on there, and the Badgers have had some pretty good wins, including the one at Michigan, which was awesome. Michigan looked like an unstoppable unit, and the Badgers and Greg Gard went in there, and they did what Greg Gard and his teams do. They fucking fundamentaled the shit out of them, and they hit threes left and right. Down goes Michigan. That must have been a great flight home.
That was a great flight home. There's no question about it. It was awesome. And good for those guys. And the biggest thing is they keep improving. Like, we don't talk about that nearly enough. How, you know, it values, but with the transfer portal the way it is now, you have to keep improving. You better not be the best team in November that you're going to be, because you've got so much that you need to come together as far as guys and play that you got to find a way to get them to mesh together. So,
all right. How is your boy, Blake? Everyone wants to know. He recently had brain surgery again for a tumor that you guys thought you had about 2 years ago, and it just kept being persistent, went back in, and everyone wants to know, and maybe some do who have followed you on socials, give us an update.
Yeah, no. So obviously, you know, when we got let go, I'd been back 2 days.
He was back 2 days from a second surgery for his son, his 5-year-old son with a brain tumor. And he gets laid off with a contract and a show that is thriving. Don't ever go into radio, people. Don't do it. So nasty.
I'll let you handle that. But
go ahead.
So
go
anyway,
ahead.
But you know, here's, and this is the reality thing. And I know we'll chop this up next week too, but you know, that was my most frustrating thing, is the fact that, like, I didn't get to really give anybody an update on it because I was so open about it on air because I just felt like people that listened to us deserved it, which I don't know if that's true or not, but that's just how I felt. And then not being able to give any updates on how he was doing probably was the most frustrating thing about being let go. Not the fact that I lost a job, but like I felt I let a lot of people in limbo as far as what was going on that truly reached out and cared. And it was amazing to me how many people cared and what that meant to me and my wife and our family to know how many people that we didn't know, but we knew through the radio that listened, that reached out, that were saying, hey, thoughts and prayers, like that goes a long way. And not ever being able to tell anybody that probably was the most frustrating thing about being let go. The rest of it's business. It's all good. But I opened up myself and I opened up our families, probably the worst thing that's happened to us. And I told the world,
without a doubt,
our listeners.
Yes, you open your heart to us. So yeah. Please don't bury the lead.
But he's doing great. Yeah, so we had a 3-month check-in. He's doing well. Did not show a tumor. Showed that it was healing the right way. So we're thrilled.
Yeah. Every cancer patient and family of cancer patients live scan to scan
to scan. And that's where we're at. I mean, we had that the first time around with it, and we were like, "Oh, great, we're good." So we've learned, but we've got. There are small wins in sports. There are small wins in life. 2 weeks ago, Wednesday was a small win in our house, and that's awesome. So we take the small wins and we keep moving forward.
All right, special announcement: Zabe Vegas is making a hopefully triumphant return. Sweet 16 weekend, March 27th and 28th. I'm going to be in Vegas, and I'm going to organize a Sweet 16 Papa Shot tournament. Anyone that wants to join me out there, I will, for the low, low price of $64, matching the field of 64, which is what it should be, Butchie. This expanded field is bullshit. If you give me $64, I'm going to get some shirts and hats. I'm going to get a trophy. We're going to be at the place we were at when Zabe Vegas last happened, 2019, at MGM Grand in their Level Up area, which is right next to the sports book. And we're going to go take a group picture at the Vegas sign. We're going to go to the Ultra Lounge atop Mandalay Bay. It's going to be a great time. There's still elements of it I'm putting together. And so I just want to let people know this is going to happen. And Brian Butch has vowed to be part of it as long as the Badgers are not playing in the Sweet 16. So I appreciate you being willing to hop on a plane for us.
Always, always, right. always.
All right. College basketball doesn't disappoint. Never lets you down. So said my.
Never let you down. Just got to pay attention to it.
Just got to give it some space. Give it some shelf space.
All right. That's it.
If you're interested in meeting up with me and hopefully Butchie this March, reach out to me via email and I will tell you what to do next. Thanks, Butchie, as always. Butchie's Den on YouTube. Go check it out. That'll be it for the Zabecast today. Thanks, everybody. We will see you next time. We might be in the final quarter of the football season, but that doesn't mean winning season is over. Oh no. With MyBookie and its cash out system, you are in control of how you bet and how you win for the rest of the season. Season win totals, parlays, points totals. If you're on the right side, you can get out while the getting is good. Cash out. Use the funds on other bets. Or just let it ride for the chance at a bigger payday. Any way you slice it, you are in control. To get started, go to mybookie.ag now. That's mybookie.ag. Register for an account for free. When you're ready, make your first deposit. And remember to use promo code ZABE. That's Charlie, Zulu, Alpha, Bravo, Echo. And grab a welcome bonus on the house. That's promo code ZABE to claim your deposit bonus. The season is running out, but winning season has just begun. Bet anything, anytime, anywhere at mybookie.ag.